You're listening to Mind Over Markets, a podcast on trading psychology to help you build a bulletproof mindset. Here's your hosts, George Papazov and Mark Borscht.
Hello, trade pros, and welcome back to another episode of the Mind Over Markets podcast. You're here with hosts, myself, Mark Borscht.
And George Papazov.
And we're excited to bring you episode 20 of our podcast. In today's episode, we're going to be talking about breaking down the emotional cycle of traders. And this is something that's really important to understand in order to deal with the challenges that you're going to face when you're going to be trading in the markets. And so we've got an episode. Before you take a look at this one, if you haven't heard, we had a great interview with our good friend Anthony Drager. He's a veteran futures trader, and that is episode number 19. So if you haven't had a chance to yet, make sure to go check that one out, and then we'll come back to this episode. So what are you going to learn from today? You're going to walk away with a deeper understanding of the emotional cycles that traders experience so that you can easily identify where you are in those cycles at any given point in time and implement a means of managing those emotions. So before we're going to jump into this topic, let's hear a quick message from the sponsor of this podcast, Trade Pro Academy.
Awesome. Thank you, Marky. So you've probably noticed there's a lot of volatility in the markets. Anytime you check the quotes, you go online, you notice there's stocks making massive moves down and up. So this volatility is actually super opportunistic for day traders. It doesn't really matter where the market is going. It doesn't have to go up for you to make money. Up or down, there's a profit opportunity for the educated day trader who trades in a community and surrounds themselves with the right team. Join our team. Our traders in our community have been profitable on average 60% of them with live capital, regardless of market condition. That means there's opportunity to the downside and up. Take advantage of this cycle that we're about to talk about and join a community where you're going to learn and earn together. And before we jump into the episode, I want to mention this. This is episode number 20, Mark. I think it deserves a little celebration for us. We made it to 20.
I think so. It's unfortunate that we can't record this in the studio together, but it's a milestone nonetheless.
This is definitely, I think this is the first quarantine self-isolation episode that we've done, right? We're here. We're both in different locations.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, it's sad. I miss seeing you in front of me, but hey, we'll have to do it with this.
Yeah, man. I mean, we can technically still see each other, but it's not the same as in real person.
Yeah. It's not, the energy isn't there, you know?
I hear you, man. All right, guys, so let's get into this episode, speaking on the topic of cycles. All right, markets have a defined and specific set of cycles because at the end of the day, traders are emotional beings. All right, it's no surprise, fear and greed drive markets. So not only do we have to learn how to control our own emotions in this game, we also have to learn how to recognize what the collective mind or what the collective herd is thinking. Right. And by understanding how the herd thinks and how they react during certain market cycles, we can start to read sentiment a little bit clearer, and we can also control our emotions a little bit better. Right. So, as I mentioned earlier, this is something that can definitely help us with our trading. And this is because knowing these different stages within this emotional roller coaster, if you will, it can help you identify where you stand at any given point in time during the session, and what you've got to do really to get yourself back into an objective state of mind. As soon as you notice emotions creeping in, you're going to want to identify where you are in this cycle, and then you're going to want to have a plan to manage or mitigate those emotions from affecting your trading. So without any further ado, let's have a look at these steps in this cycle.
All right. Awesome. Marky, I'm excited. Can we talk about, before we jump into the market cycles, just very briefly cycles in general, right? Because I think life has cycles. Like, you know, the planet itself has seasons. So we go from spring to summer to fall to winter, and we just repeat. And I think there's cycles in everything that happens. And because markets at the day is just a collection of emotional human beings, there's going to be predictable and repeatable cycles as well. So it's something to even know right off the bat. Some people may not realize that this is a very cyclical thing. They're shorter term, longer term cycles, and they all repeat one after another which gives us a sense of predictability. So that's what we're going to be talking about today, is specifically market cycles. And, you know, we could translate this to any kind of cycle. You've been through cycles before. Today, we're going to take you through a whole market cycle that repeats constantly. And then we're going to end off by saying which stage we think we're at, which means what, Marky? We know what's coming up.
Exactly. We know exactly what's coming up.
Get the crystal globe out. I'm polishing mine a little bit.
Get the crystal globe out. Exactly. And I think this episode comes at an important time. We are recording this in March of 2020. And so we're about 3 months into the COVID-19 pandemic here. As we mentioned, we are self-isolating at home right now. So if you're hearing, you know, a little bit of a different energy, that's why. But I hope we're still keeping it optimistic. And I wanted to ask you one thing, Georgie. I remember when we initially met, you had a book that you had recommended to me about cycles. Can you potentially speak on that and how it can translate into what we're going to be talking about?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I love talking about curveballs outside the show notes. Yeah, we have our best episodes. Yeah. So this one was a book written for a president from an economist. I think it was Edward. What was it called? The book was simply called Cycles. I'm going to just pull it up really quickly because we have The Science of Prediction, Dewey Edward R. Dakin. So Dewey and Edward R. Dakin wrote this book, and it was written for a president. The mandate for them was to study cycles and is there repeatable opportunity, not just in markets, but in the economy as a whole. They came out with a very fascinating discovery, Mark. They came out that the business cycle, or every 7.5 years roughly, there is, going back hundreds of years, there's been predictable patterns where every 7.5 years or so, the markets come in for a soft landing or a recession. That is to say, a pullback from a thriving economy to one that needs to sort of pull back, scale back, and deleverage before continuing higher. That book is interesting because if you look at it, you know, when was the last, if we go back, 1987 was Black Monday, right? And then 92, we had a bit of a pullback. Well, if you had 7.5 years to that, it's roughly 2001, right? And if you had seven and a half years approximately that, it's 2008. And so these cycles that were studied are based on a whole bunch of stuff, crop production, you know, human psychology. And it's a very, very amazing book, phenomenal book to read, very relevant today. You guys, I would recommend picking it up. If you don't know how to find it, in the show notes, click the link. It'll take you right to Amazon to purchase it. But it's a phenomenal book. I'm glad you brought that up because it predicted it. And so now you're doing the math and you're saying 2008 plus 7 doesn't equal 2020, right? But the thing is, there's been so much artificial support of the Federal Reserve, of corporations buying back their own stocks. So this cycle has been distorted a little bit. And I think we're in a new normal, but it is still cyclical. And this part was, we had to get this massive pullback. It was only a matter of time,
right? Yeah. Exactly. So thank you, Georgie, for clearing that up for the followers.
I forgot the episode wasn't on cycles. I had this whole other spiel.
No, awesome. I think that's a great book, and it was a great read. And like Georgie said, we're going to throw that in the show notes for you guys. So let's talk about cycles. All right. We're going to be talking about these emotional cycles that traders experience. And this cycle can happen both in a collective mindset, being the general, you know, herd, the collective mind of the market, what the retail population thinks. And then you've got an individual, it can even be an individual trade over trade kind of emotions, emotional cycles that you experience, right? So this can be both applied to your own individual trades. You can experience these emotions in the course of planning a trade, executing the trade, you know, from when you get filled to when the trade gets taken out. These are emotions that you can definitely feel and definitely suffer from, right? And then this can also be the case for the general population, right? So we're gonna be looking to hit it kind of two birds with one stone on this one. How you can apply this both to your personal trades and how you can apply this to the general consensus of what's going on amongst, you know, the majority of the world right now.
Love it.
Awesome. So these stages, you know, there's 14 different emotions. However, we can group them into four main stages. All right. So these kind of work cyclically in the sense that you've got uptrends and that you've got downtrends in markets. All right. And in uptrends, this is when the market is making newer highs. You're hearing about it on the news. All right. That is when you have stage one. You've got optimism, excitement, thrill, and euphoria. Those are the four types of emotions that are experienced in that first stage. And once markets seem to get to a top and you stop hearing about new highs being made, that's when you start getting into stage two. You start getting into emotions such as anxiety. You start getting into emotions such as denial. As the market starts pulling off of its highs, you get emotions such as fear. And then you start getting emotions such as desperation. That's where we are at stage two. At stage three, you've got panic, capitulation, despondency, and depression. All right. And then the cycle gets into stage four, which is essentially hope and relief. And then we cycle back into the first stage, which is starting off with optimism. All right. So that is essentially the four stages of these emotional cycles. And let's break down all 14 of these and give you guys some examples of how they would relate back to your own individual trades and how they can relate back to the collective group consensus.
Yeah, absolutely, Marky. This is kind of like a roller coaster, right? You get the roller coaster analogy here, like it's pulled into me. It's like you're going up, and you're hearing the click. It's like click, click, click. And you know you're about to have fun. And then it starts to drop, and you're inevitably going down, but you know it's going to bottom out. So it's like it's a very recurring emotional roller coaster looking curve that has the four stages. But I think it's important to also touch on this before we go through each one and unpack them, is why do we tend to remember down cycles more clearly, right? Because if you talk to people about markets at any point of the cycle, they're inevitably going to remember the points that were the downswings, all right, the lows. Yeah. Most people remember the troughs, but not the peaks. And I think the importance of that is because whenever you're in a situation where there's fear involved, where there's loss, there's hurt, emotional, financial, it's all the same, it triggers areas in your brain that are more responsible to remember it in as much detail as possible for as long as possible. The reason is that serves you is that when you're having this down moment, if you could learn from it, you know, your subconscious mind is saying we're better for the next time around it comes. And the fascinating thing here to me is that while there's these down cycles, they happen so rarely in terms of, you know, occurrence. They're much less frequent and they last much shorter periods of time. All right, bull markets are 7 years on approximate, you know, downsides 12, 18 months, 2 years, but it's a multiple factor, 3-4 to 1. And I think it's important to remember that while it's cyclical, it doesn't mean that we spend an equal amount of time. It's a disproportionate amount of time where we spend the least amount in despondency, depression, and on this pullback moments, but we tend to remember them the most. And remember, Mark, when we were having investor conversations, when we worked for the bank, primarily you with the retail aspect, and I was in there working with retail branches to coach them with investing, we would show that chart. Remember the little downsides? Like you're letting the fear of these very few moments help or prevent you from getting opportunity of hundreds of percent on the upside.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That was one of the things you had a conversation with a lot of the clients at the time was essentially showing them that, you know, once the market started to, you know, take a turn back at the retail branch, you know, 15, 20%, you'd have clients that started to get a little bit scared. And so they'd come in looking to sell and you'd kind of want to offer them the advice at the time that was, you know, this is really the worst time to be doing so, because this is when people are, you know, thinking of doing the exact same thing. And at the time where people are looking to do the exact same thing, you'll often get, you know, the opposite happen, right? Yeah. So a lot of people are looking to sell. That's likely the time where it's probably a good time to start buying, right? We're going to talk about these kinds of cycles.
And when we explore the cycle in a second, you're going to understand why it's the case that people freak out at the worst moment. And before we jump into it, last thing I want to mention, Warren Buffett quote. I love this one for a longer term perspective. You know, for day traders, you want to be tracking with the trend, but for longer term investment cycles and economic booms and busts, he says, be fearful when others are greedy and greedy when others are fearful. And you're going to find out why as we dig into the cycle now, why that's the case. Mark, you want to kick it off with the first part, stage one, or not stage one, but part one.
Yeah, sure. So the first emotion in stage one is optimism. All right. And so optimism basically starts off where you're basically getting a hunch or a positive outlook on the stock market. This could be, you know, good news after, you know, basically a pandemic. This could be something that you could see in the next, I don't know, maybe 6 months to, I don't know, maybe 18 months or so, hopefully. where we start seeing optimism coming back into the markets, because that's not where the stage where we're at the moment, right? And so it all starts with a hunch or positive outlook on leading you or the general market to buy stocks, right? So this is could be, you know, a friend of a friend tells you, I'm looking to get into this for this reason. They're going to be expanding, whatever it can be the case. And that's where you start getting into the market, right? I'm sure you've had a lot of people giving you calls when they're getting optimistic on stocks and they're wanting your opinion on them.
I always get calls from people at the two peaks, maximum euphoria. And then when there's the maximum despondency, my phone's always blowing up. People I haven't talked to in decades start texting me. And unfortunately, I've got to ignore most of them because that's when I'm at the most energy level putting into our community. That's when our community needs us the most as well. But I like that. From optimism, then, Marky, what ends up happening, and you know, the second stage of this cycle is excitement. So optimism happens when things have been bad for so long that they just can't get any worse. And if they do, you don't really care anymore, to the point that now you're starting to see a little bit of optimism. After optimism, in part two, you start to feel excitement, right? Things are starting to move your way, right? You're starting to get a little bit excited inside. You're like, oh, yay, look, it's going to start to work. You're looking at stock charts and you're saying, this is already working. Stocks are going up. So I'm being validated in being optimistic. Like, I have reason to be optimistic. Now I'm getting outright excited because the market's going as well. You're starting to anticipate things, right? And you're hoping that there's a success story in the making for yourself. You know, you're starting to feel it. It really becomes a real emotion. And you're like, wow, this is really good. I'm excited for the opportunity that lies ahead. It's important to note, though, that at this point, most institutions are already long, right? Most professional money traders have already started initiating long positions, and they're adding on dips here. This is where buying the dip works. And the retail investor, while excited, is not financially committed quite yet, right? They're still excited. It's validating their emotions, but it's not leading to the belief that it's time to put their money to work.
Awesome. And so this next stage, or rather this next emotion here, is where those retail traders jump off the sidelines and they decide that it's time to put their money into the markets because it's favorable conditions. And, you know, you've got your strategy, and in markets that are moving up, you know, it's, you hear it often in the industry, BTFD, you know, buying the dip is what that means with a little word in between. And, this is where you're getting the retail traders putting their money off of the sidelines. All right. They can't help but start feeling like they're geniuses. They can't help but start feeling like they're smart. Anything that they seem to buy after it dumps makes them money. All right. And it's just at this point, you're getting completely confident in your strategy. You know, this is where we call it God mode, if you will, where, you know, anything you touch is just going to make money. And this is one, not the most dangerous time at the top of this cycle, but one of the more, you know, transitional moments where it starts to get a little bit slippery slopes ahead.
Yeah, I would say this is like 2019 in this current cycle. Remember when it just exploded higher and there's just every single day kept moving up. A lot of professional traders were selling and started to see some articles circulating like, you know, traders confused as to why it continues to rally. You know, like economics are slipping and showing signs of faltering, but market doesn't care. That's the kind of article that was circulating back then in the professional sources. But in the financial press, it was like, you know, this is the best decade of the year. Keep buying, load up. They're leading people to believe that this is the best time to get in. And then the thrill leads to number four here, Marky, euphoria. This is when, this is when no matter what you do, I mean, you could take your three letters. My initials are GP. All right. And if I go in on TradingView, I'm going to do it just now. Let's see if there's a stock called GP. All right. Those are just my initials. I don't have to do any research, right? Because there's no risk. Hey, GP doesn't exist. I'm going to go IPO.
Let's try MB.
Yeah. Let's try MB. Okay. MB. So what stock is this? This is IMEBZ, IMEBZ, one day chart. And so when you look at this stock, at any point in 2018, if you had bought the dip, it had worked. This is when you make random letters up and you buy the stock and it's going to work, all right? This is the euphoria where no matter what you do, it starts to pay you and you start to think, hey, you know what? I'm really good at this. I'm going to put more money into it. You start to go in there and start trading on margin, saying, you know, because I'm so good, let me refinance my house, take that money and dump it into the market. this is the stage of the market that there's a saying, don't confuse bulls for brains. All right.
One of my favorite sayings.
I love that one too. It's like when things are going up, yes, you're going to make money, but this is an unrealistic performance that you're now creating and coming to expect. It's when you things get complacent, retail jumps in full. Somebody who rode out the bottom part of the cycle coming up, who was optimistic but didn't buy, who was excited but didn't buy, who's thrilled but still didn't buy, is finally jumping in to buy what is going to eventually become the top. And so this euphoria stage might present the maximum kind of ego capital, meaning that everything I touch is working, the maximum amount of confidence, but it is also the point of maximum financial risk. All right. Because, you know, at this point, profits are turning so quickly, you're over leveraging at a point where it's getting complacent. And the question that I like to ask in these kind of markets, especially at the euphoria stages, all right, when everybody that wants to buy has already bought, where will the market go? Right? There are no additional people who want to buy. There's no additional quantity because all the money on the sidelines is now long. When everyone's long, all you have is sell stops and sellers to come. And this is kind of how that market top is formed. So this is euphoria. This is when everyone is so greedy that Warren Buffett's saying it's time to start being fearful, right? Because everyone's on board. And this is a peak. This is if you're visualizing this, you know, optimism, excitement, thrill, euphoria peaks out the curve, the rally, if you will, the economic expansion peaks.
Yeah, exactly. And so what happens after euphoria once you start getting that peak? Well, inevitably, the market starts to pull back. All right. The market starts to make a bit of a pullback. And this is what gives you the emotion of anxiety. All right. Oh, no, the market's turning around. All right. It starts to show first signs of weakness and you start to experience the first signs of giving your hard earned gains back to the market. Right. And this is a tough concept for a lot of traders because many of them haven't seen this happen. Right. If you're just buying and every time you buy, it makes money. Once you start doing that and you're giving that money back, that's going to start to instill some emotions. All right. We're going to remain greedy and think that the long-term trend is higher. And if I could, you know, kind of pinpoint this moment on the chart of the S&P 500, this would be at around the, you know, February 2020 of this year, right around the 3,300 marker. All right. We had hit completely fresh highs. And then up until that week, I believe it might have been that week or a week after that week, where we had the initial move that broke back below 30, or rather that retested the 3,000 level. All right. We had an initial, you know, 5-day move, quick volatile move, caught a lot of traders off guard. And that's where the anxiety started to come in. All right. And so, as I mentioned, in this emotion or in this kind of a stage, traders are starting to get a little bit fearful. And this is where that fearful mindset starts to come into the market. All right. And then as the market starts to trend lower, you get the next emotion coming in. And what's that, Georgie?
The next emotion after anxiety is denial. And denial is when, you know, the markets don't turn as quickly as you would have liked. And like Mark mentioned, whenever there's a moment in your life where there's panic or fear creeping in, your reaction automatically goes to the subconscious level. You do that which you know has worked in the past. What has worked in the past? Just buying dips and blindly putting more money in it. So you're starting to deny the fact that, you know, what's taking place is real. You're saying it's going to bounce back. You're anxious. And now you're getting to the point where like, look, there must be something wrong. You know, instead of looking for the next 10 years, like I had hoped to make all this money, let me just get back to where I was. You know, I'll hold it. I'm anxious. I'm starting to deny. I'm in denial about the part of the trend we're in. But let me look a little bit shorter term. If I could only get back to break even, or if I could only get up another 3 or 4%, I'm going to get out. I promise. All right. And, you know, we're at this point, we're still in anticipation that the market's going to go up. We're seeing on the chart huge carnage. All right. We're seeing the Federal Reserve March 3rd do a surprise 50 basis points rate cut at the same day the market closes on lows, but we're denying that. We're in denial. We're not, that doesn't support what we want. What we want is to see a rebound. And so we start anchoring to a level. We're saying, if we just get a little pop, I'm going to be out. I promise, market, you let me off this time, it's going to be different next time around.
Yeah, it's exactly true. And that's the part where traders are going to be like, all right, if only I can get back to break even now, I'm just going to close on my position and just not do that ever again.
Yeah, I've learned my lesson this time, I swear.
Yeah, exactly. And so as the market might start to stall out for a couple of days and give you a little bit of a bounce, right? Like we mentioned, the Fed tried to throw some crazy stimulus at the market, almost unprecedented. And what did the market do? It rallied initially and then closed on the lows. All right. And then once you get that close on the lows, you get that reality that sets in that we're not as smart as we once thought. All right. Buying the dips, maybe this thing is not working. You start to get fearful, right? Instead of being confident in your strategy, you start to become confused, right? What used to work doesn't work anymore. And now you're starting to question whether my strategy is effective, right? Is my strategy effective in these markets? And then you start to really question your whole process. And this is the point, you know, where you can get out with a small profit if you've invested from the long term and just move on, but you don't for some reason. All right. You don't for some reason because you're fearful at this point and you continue to hold on to those positions. All right. And whether this applies to long-term investments or, you know, taking a trade that has maybe started off going in your favor and then has now almost come in, hit your stop loss. You know, you're in fear of taking that loss. And, you know, for some traders, they don't let that fear come to fruition, right? They don't accept that fear. They don't close out the position. They don't close out the loss for what it is. They actually hold on to it. They'll cancel their stop losses and they'll hold on to it because of the fear of crystallizing that loss. And that kind of leads you on to the next emotion. As the market continues lower, as the, you know, your position continues lower, you get into this next emotion.
Desperation. So this is where it starts to get dark, right? I think Mark mentioned a great point is that we still have a chance here to get out at a small profit or even a small loss. But what ends up happening is the market continues to go down, all right? And you don't have any more capital to buy the dip. Now you're at a loss. Not only have you lost all the profit that you made, but now you're losing real money that you worked hard for. And if you leveraged up and you borrowed money and maxed out margin, you're now losing some serious money that's going to take a lot of work to get back to. All right.
Awesome. So that's desperation for you there, guys. And so, number nine, emotion number nine, this is possibly the most emotional period by far, and that's panic. All right. You're absolutely clueless. You're absolutely helpless. Nothing you try works. Everything you try just seems to lose. And this is a stage where, you know, you really feel like you're at the mercy of the market and you've got absolutely no control over, you know, over what you can do about it.
Yep. And right after panic comes the next emotion, capitulation. And, you know, capitulation to me is a fascinating stage because this is the level at which you're driven to take action. All right. This is a level where up until this point, you're reading every news article that supported your theory. The markets might be dumping. There might be 100 articles telling you how it's getting really bad, but you're going to find one that supports your view, and you're going to hang on to that bias for as long as you can. This part, capitulation, basically is the stage at which you admit that, you know, okay, I've done the wrong thing here. I need relief. This is the stage at which your subconscious mind has trusted you up to 0.9. Now you've panicked, and now you're going to set off the chain reaction that you actually have the least control over, right? This is the part where most people incur most losses, yet are the one that have the least control over. And the way to avoid getting here is to take action much sooner than step 10. But step 10 here, or emotion number 10, is capitulation. You've reached the breaking point, and now you're saying, forget it. I'm going to sell everything I have on the market. You go in your brokerage account, you call your broker, however you do that transaction, depending on whether you have a managed solution or your own, ideally or likely both. You're going to do both things, sell your own portfolio, tell your broker to do it as well. All right. And you incur the loss. Now the loss becomes real, right? Whereas before you had a paper loss, now it's a real loss. Now the money that you work hard for is likely gone to a large extent. All right. And all the gains that you had before are gone. So this is where the loss is realized, both financially, emotionally, and psychologically. All right. And I think this stage is super dangerous because it pulls you in so much fear by the time you capitulate. Because once you go to sell, guess who else is trying to sell? everyone else is capitulating at the same time. This is a point where everyone sells everything they have at the same time. And the reason it's so bad is because that causes even more downside and more panic and more capitulation. This is where all the sell stops and market orders come on board. And if everyone's looking to sell and the smart money is sitting back here and saying, hey, look, I don't want to buy this yet. This is nuts. And everyone's looking to sell and there's no buyer on the market, prices will drop very sharply in a short period of time, right? This is where everyone capitulates. This is when the loss becomes from an idea to being real.
Exactly. And that capitulation, once you've sold out of everything, you know, at a much bigger loss than you had anticipated, leads to the emotion of despondency, right? After you exit the markets, you get into that stage where you don't even want to think about trading, right? I don't want to do this. The stock market is manipulated. This is not for us. This should be avoided like the plague. You know, I'm sure you've heard it before, Georgie. I know I have plenty of times about people's stories and their experiences with the stock market. And, you know, a lot of the advice people give are, or rather the advice that people give is relative to their experiences with the stock market, right? So if somebody had a bad experience with the stock market, maybe they bought a stock on the recommendation of a friend and they lost money on it. And then you decide you want to become a trader and then you tell that person on it. More likely than not, they're going to tell you to be careful, you know, stock trading is gambling, et cetera, because of their experience with it, right? So
absolutely.
Yeah, getting back to the point here, despondency is really once you get to that point where, you know, you're just kind of fed up with the markets, you don't want to do anything with the markets. And, you know, this is really the time, it's one of those rare points in this part of the market cycle where you've got the point of maximum opportunity coming. When everybody, you know, has already sold, they're kind of pissed off with the market, they don't want anything to do with it. This is the time where the markets start, or rather where the institutions are starting to accumulate, you know, some of the shares after, you know, the massive move that typically tends to happen where you get these kinds of scenarios. So emotion number 11, despondency.
This is also the emotion of financial transfer. All right. This is where capital transfers from the retail back into the institutional portfolio. So this is the maximum opportunity and also the biggest capital and wealth transfer from the retail investor to the professionals. And, you know, I'm seeing comments even on our YouTube channel and like as we go along where, you know, people have been hurt and they're at the stage right now where they're like, look, this is manipulated. What is wrong with you guys? And they're looking for an outlet to put their fear and negative emotions on. It's unhealthy to hold negative emotions. And so as humans, because we're not trained how to handle our emotions, what do we get taught in school? How to do calculus? Completely useless. But we're not taught how to maintain and manage your emotions. They don't have a place to release this. They release it on the people who are still in the business who tend to be doing okay. Also, remember that we're not out here when we're making money to the downside bragging about it. You know, like, I mean, this might sound superficial and stuff, but Mark, you could see I've toned down myself. I'm keeping watches, things like that, things that at the top seemed accomplishments for some out of view because we know people are getting hurt. We're not out there bragging saying, oh, your portfolio got ripped apart. That sucks. I'm up huge on my day trading account. This is the point where people are holding on to so much negative emotion. And after this comes the next step, depression. All right. And this is both physical, psychological, financial, emotional, every context of the word. There's a depression that comes, not in the economic markets, but in our own journey, how we experience it with the financial markets. This is when we know, We have to accept the fact that what we once thought was going to bring us financial freedom is now no longer on the table. But even more to that point, we've now lost the money that we even approached this financial market with. And the depression here is, you know, we're looking for an outlet to offload this negativity. It's proven that the longer you hold negative emotions, the more health issues you have. I don't want to get into studies and numbers here. Number one, it's controversial. Number two, there's a massive pharma industry that would not like any of this. I don't want to disappear. I want to be here. I love you guys. So when you're holding on to this negativity, you start to look at negative outlets. You know, some people cry. Some people pray. Right? Some people drink. Some people get in self-destructive habits. Some people blame themselves. How could I have been so stupid? All right? Some are lucky enough to look back and say, hey, what went wrong? Maybe I started at a time where, you know, I didn't really know what I was doing. Maybe I got lucky. Maybe I should surrender to the process and count the losses I have in my portfolio as my entry into this industry, as my tuition. Because only when you live through these down moments, you become a trader. This is where real traders are born. Where people say, look, I got hurt bad out there. All right. However, I'm still alive. I'm healthy. All right. I'm going to rebuild my capital. I might have some left, whatever the case might be. But my gosh, was there an opportunity here on this downside? I could see it. I may not have been trained to take advantage of it. I may have traded emotionally or invested emotionally, but now in front of me lays the greatest opportunity in my career. Different people deal with depression, despondency in a different way, right? Some unfortunately go off the deep end and it becomes an escalating pattern of destructive habits, right? Other people look at the more optimistic route and look for a way to bounce back and use this as a learning experience, as a platform to build on. And this is where, you know, where we come into play, Mark, you and I, Victorio, all the people at Trade Pro Academy, it's our job to help you see that, right? And so through these tough moments, this is why we have to stay humble and kind of empower you guys and get you excited about this, because it's dangerous to go the dark route, all right? It's dangerous because you take money problems and you can convert them to health problems, relationship problems, the kind of problems that money shouldn't be able to affect. Causes a lot of damage that's unnecessary in your life. All right. So I want, you know, we went on this randomly. I didn't know I'd speak on depression, but I'm happy I did, because I want to tell you guys that what you are currently experiencing, if you're in this stage, you know, with your portfolio, with your accounts, because we're getting close to some of these darker stages. We'll talk about where we think we are in a moment. But if you're in the stage now where you're experiencing this, I want to tell you this. It's okay. Number one, there's a learning opportunity here. Number two, and number three, because this thing is cyclical, the good news is there is a way out of it. And there are other people who have gone through this before. And in fact, any person, if you're going to invest for the long term, if you're going to trade, if you're going to take financial opportunity in exchange for a risk capital amount, you're going to have to live through this. And you just did. So you earn a stripe, all right? You're building resilience. So as we get to this stage, I want you to know most people panic, but this is the point where for you, you have maximum personal development and also maximum financial opportunity as well in the future.
Exactly. Thanks for sharing that, Georgie. And so we're at emotion number 13 now. And so after you get through, you know, the emotions of despondency and depression, we get to the emotion of hope. All right. This is where the markets start to stabilize. You're not hearing negative news on the news cycle every single morning. You're starting to hear some positive news coming through about, you know, the economy, whatever the situation at the time. You know, once we reach this stage of the, you know, of the cycle where we're currently at in 2020, I think this is where we'll start seeing, you know, maybe vaccines being put on trial and maybe getting some positive results from those, maybe seeing the, you know, the disease start, or rather the pandemic start flatlining, getting good signs like that. I think we can get to that stage. And so that really is a stage where, you know, the markets start to stabilize. This can be kind of equivalent to what we saw in April to May 2009. You know, after we had that big sell-off, we started to stabilize. The markets climbed for a couple of weeks. They had, you know, 2 or 3 weeks where they closed green back to back and started to show some strength, some buying coming back into those markets. And that's really kind of the point of hope. It's where you kind of get to the realization that the market does have cycles, right? And this is what we're trying to get at, right? People are going to have to go through all of those emotions that, you know, from one to, at this point, we're at 13, you're going to have to go from one through 12 in order to get to hope. All right. That's the only way that you can get to hope. And so at this point, you know, just like Georgie said, you've earned your stripes and now you can start look, this is where people start to look for new opportunities in the market. All right. The depression and, you know, the dark cloud that kind of hangs around that environment and that kind of sentiment, which we're honestly experiencing right now, in March of 2020. Every single day we're waking up, all that we're hearing on the news flow right now is how many new cases of corona are there, you know, how many new deaths are coming in, and hardly do we hear about the recoveries. And so it's just a constant negative news flow, and you know, that's kind of the sentiment that we're seeing at the moment, right? And so hope is number 13. That is when you start to see, in this case, we would start to see some good news coming out, and where the markets start to bottom out as well, and you start to see some weeks of strength, right? Once we get to that point, you're going to start to see some weeks of strength. And then at that point, we're going to transition to the final and the 14th emotion in this four-stage cycle of emotions that traders experience.
And that cycle is relief. Things start to feel good again. Because there's an interesting thing about, you know, worsening situations or increasing amounts of pain. You get to a point where it's like every single day, if it's getting worse and worse, it hurts less and less. And you get to a point that if you're like, look, if this is the worst that could happen, theoretically, if I just look up, this is the worst it's going to be. It means there's nothing but upside from here. And this is where you start to feel relief, right? Things start to turn around. You start to hear a little bit more positive stories. You know, to parlay this into self-isolation mode is that, you know, at the moment, I went out for a walk. Obviously, I got flamed for it. I'm not out there kissing random people, though. I'm keeping 6 feet distance, whatever it is. I looked up, the sun was shining. I'm like, you know what? One day it's going to be good again. This is great. And I kind of had like a little bit of sigh of relief. No matter how bad it is or it's going to get, one day we're going to get there. This is when the relief stage comes in. You start to see some of the investments do well. You start to see success stories in companies who are coming out in a new way. Doesn't mean you're looking for these old companies that got beat up to come back, but you're seeing new success stories emerge out of the rubble. You're seeing the phoenix fly, if you will. New companies taking this as an advantage, doing well, building momentum, you know, and things start to regain a little bit of the happiness. You might even smile for the first time. And then guess what happens after the relief? You're relieved it's all over. You know, you're already hopeful from the last stage. Things are starting to rebound. Where do we go from number 14? Is this where it ends?
We go right back to number one, right back to optimism. All right. Back and that's to optimism. And that's how the cycle completes itself. Right, from optimism, it starts at optimism and it recycles back at optimism. All right, and so that is essentially the four stages of emotions that traders experience through, you know, both having their own trades, their own individual trades. You'll suffer a majority of these emotions. Not to say that you'll suffer, but you'll experience a majority of these emotions, especially if you don't have a plan. If you don't really know what you're looking for and you're trading based on a hunch, I can guarantee you, you're going to, you know, this list here is very cyclical in the way that you're going to experience things as you take a trade. And I just wanted to speak on that a little just quickly here. So when you take a trade, you're initially optimistic, right? We're going to go through this list quickly here to summarize how this would be relevant in an individual trade kind of a scenario. So let's say you've qualified a trade. Obviously, if you're taking the trade, you're going to be optimistic that it's going to hit your take profit, right? Would you agree, Georgie?
No, 100%. Otherwise, you wouldn't be getting in, right?
Exactly. So that's where the hunch starts. You've got an idea and maybe something's looking like it's going to go your way. Great. You're optimistic. You take that trade, right? You're in the trade right now and the trade starts moving your direction. Excitement starts to kick in, right? Emotion number two, excitement starts to kick in. You're starting to anticipate how much money you're going to make, you know, selling out that position at some point, retiring, buying a Lamborghini, et cetera. All right. Good news for you. The stock keeps going up. All right. Stock's gone up. Now you've tripled your money. This is where thrill starts to come in. All right. You're at the thrill stage. You know, you get to this point, maybe I'll cancel my take profit. This market's going to keep on going. I'm going to keep taking this thing for as much as it'll give me. Great. Market continues going in your favor and you can't help but feeling like a genius. Man, if I just take one of these trades every single day, this is going to be great, right? These are the kinds of emotions that we go through on an individual trade by trade basis if you don't have a plan, right? Then the market hits a new level. You're up nice, maybe five times, and you're deciding, man, should I sell here? I think this might be a good idea to sell. You know what? I think if I just hold it for a couple more longer, I could really get that car or that house. You know what? This thing's going in my favor. I can't lose right now. great. I'm going to hold it. You hold on to that trade. All right. It starts to top out, starts to, you know, hit a resistance point, starts to form, you know, whatever pattern you look for, triple top, double top. And then it fails, right? You get the initial move that breaks market structure to the downside. All right. At this point, you haven't sold yet. This is where you get anxious. All right. I'm sure this is very similar to the investor cycle from Bitcoin. All right. Oh, yeah. That whole cycle. All right. And this is the part where you hit 20,000 on Bitcoin and the market started rolling over. All right. You get anxious. All right. I'm going to buy this first dip. It's got to go. This has been working for the whole time. Then the market, you're at anxiety now. You're at the emotion of anxiety. Right. Now you're buying back in. Market gives you a little bit of a bounce and then it goes right off to new lows. All right. You're still in this position. You're giving back gains now. You're in the stage of denial. All right. At this point, you're starting. The market's moving right back to your break-even position. All right. This is where fear really starts to kick in. You are back underwater now. You've given up all the gains that you had, the house money that you had. All right. And now that's gone. So technically, you've given up 1,200 or whatever the amount you want it to be, 1,500, whatever the amount you want it to be. You've given that all up and now you're underwater. All right. And this is where desperation kicks in. Man, I've given this up. I've lost all these gains. What do? I had a chance to profit. I missed it. I don't really know what to do right now. Should I hold this position? Should I get rid of it? I don't know. I'm just going to wait and see if I can get another bounce. Maybe I can get another bounce, right?
Then, you know what else happens here, Marky, before you even go to panic? Yeah. People start pulling their stop losses. I don't need a stop loss. Yes. It's going to come back. It'll come back. It has to. They always do.
Exactly. And so imagine you're still in this trade. Now you've pulled your stop loss because you've had a trade that was once at profit. Now it's underwater and your mentality is geared to those profits that you had given up. You had those profits and now this position has got to come back and get you at least to break even, ideally back to those profits that you had. You want to recover that, right? That's what you're remembering. And then you know what? The market goes lower. The market goes lower. And at this point, you're really in trouble. You're, you know, close to margin call. If your broker hasn't called you already to exercise the margin call, you're almost there. You're getting nervous. Then you sell. All right. You're at the point of capitulation. You've reached your breaking point and then you sell that position. And now it doesn't matter what happens. Now you're starting to feel the next emotion. You're feeling despondency. All right. On an individual trade basis, after you exit that trade, you know, you get somewhat of a sigh of relief now. You know, it's still despondency kind of emotion, but you're out of the markets now. And now you don't even want to kind of think about that. The money's lost. You've kind of crystallized it. And now you got to be thinking about your next best trade. This is where a lot of traders, they kind of go into the next emotion, depression, and then they start revenge trading, right? They get taken out of that position. And now they keep trying to buy the bottom until they lose their capital. And then it inevitably goes up, right? And so after despondency, like we said, you've got the depression stage. This is the part where, you know, you're upset about the trade. You're upset about losing money. You don't know what to do next. And then next you see the market bounce, right? The market bounce and starts to play back into your idea. You see that dips are starting to be held by buyers. And now you start to get hope again. All right. You've thought about the trade. You've reviewed the trade. And at this point you're saying, all right, I think I can start looking for positions again. I'm ready to take on new opportunities. Right. And then the market can continue on higher. And now you're back in relief. All right. The markets are back to reacting normally. We've just experienced a normal cycle. I know where I'm at and I know what I have to do to get, you know, back to objectivity. And I think that's what's important about these emotions, especially as they relate to your individual trades, is because you can identify where you're at any point in time, you know, in real time. Once you're in a position, where am I at on this cycle, right? Which emotion am I feeling? If emotions are starting to creep in and you realize that, you can identify where you are in this cycle, and then you can put it together a plan to help you mitigate those emotions from affecting your performance or affecting your trading.
Love it. I love that. You just walk through the whole cycle. And I think that really makes it stick from, you know, actions that you have, as you went through this, Mark, I keep saying you guys to the listener, but as you went through this, I experienced it with you. I experienced the yay to the, oh, because I've been there. You know, like to get here, you have to be there. And this is where I think is interesting. No matter where you start your journey, Mark, I think even if you start in the despondency, this is when you first start trading. Like right now, people are calling my phone. Actually, my phone's ringing right now. Look at this, Mark. You ever heard me talk to this person? They just, no. So
yep.
The phone's ringing and people want to know, what should I do? Because now that this market's captured their interest. So even if you start at the very bottom caring about this market, you're like, oh my God, I need to know how to make money right now because this is becoming important all of a sudden. If you started despondency, depression, even if you started euphoria, no matter where you start, before you realize how this market really works, you're going to have to experience a down curve. And I think people who started euphoria, like 2019 markets wise, have gone through the curve now. People who are just starting at this moment are missing how this whole downside was actually created.
Yeah.
And so they're the ones who will become overly confident in the next 6-7 years of the next bull and will lose 7-8 years of profit in 2 months. And we've had a historic market that literally, you know, you usually lose money slower. It takes a little bit more of a battle, like 2008, 2001, months on end. It was downside, but smaller amounts. Right now, we just rinsed this downside on a quicker scale, and it's been unprecedented downside action. And so here comes the golden question here, Mark. Where do you think we are right now in terms of the cycle?
Where do I think we are? I think personally we are, I want to say we're close to the, we're definitely past the panic stage. I'm definitely seeing panic. I think we're coming into the capitulation phase.
Yeah.
I definitely think if I were to put it between two, it would be really between the panic and the capitulation phase, more so coming towards the capitulation side of things.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that if we hadn't, look, this would have taken, going from fear to capitulation usually takes months. We've gone into unprecedented territory where we're almost 40% down in less than 30 days, right? Like really crazy, unprecedented type of emotions. And because fear is stronger than greed, I think we've rinsed out the cycle to the downside a lot quicker. Also, now we have more automated trading technologies that are going through in the market who liquidate faster, right? And we've condensed the downside. All right, so because it's happened so fast, I think we have whiplash. A lot of us have to sit here and process it. And we also, you know, let's not forget that the spark in the room was the corona situation. But before this whole coronavirus, it's like hail risk, this black swan, you know, Nassim will tell us, Nassim Taleb. That's his name, right? The guy, the Black Swan author?
I think so, yeah.
It, you know, as this occurred, this is what brought down the market. But there was a lot of other reasons, right? Like corporations had been flush out on over-leverage and buy. I could do a whole episode on this. What you need to know is that this wasn't the prime cause. This sparked the selling, but there was a complacency. Like there was a sense of how much further could we go. You know, people wanted a reason to sell. You know, if they didn't want to sell, if this happened, they would have continued to buy. People were looking for a reason to get out. And so I'm with Mark that I think if we haven't capitulated yet, that there's going to be one more move down to capitulate. But the next step coming up is, let's see what this downside looks like. And by the time the episode's out, you might even know. There might be one more downside push where we attempt to break the low. And if we cannot, then maybe we are in the stage where, you know, we're getting a little hopeful. Maybe all the stimulus, this unprecedented new money that's been printed and circulated in the economy, fiscal and monetary stimulus, the government and the Fed level, maybe this is starting to take hold. Maybe we're starting to build a sense of hope and relief. And if that is the case, then you know what the next one is, optimism. Maybe there's going to be a great opportunity coming up shortly, or maybe we have a little bit more of capitulation and we have to go through a larger cycle of, you know, despondency and depression, where we start to see the quarterly results coming in from the economic front. GDP starts to weaken, all right? Job layoffs lead to businesses going bankrupt because we haven't seen any massive bankruptcies yet, right? There hasn't been a Lehman-style event to kind of cause a systemic risk in the whole thing. It's just right now, there's people laid off, businesses are making less money, but there hasn't been any bankruptcies at this point. If this goes on for longer, the companies start going bankrupt, then you can't just restart the economic engine. It's not like it's shut off and you just turn the key. You're going to have to do some engine work. Yeah. And I think this is the big question in the cycle is if we don't see too many bankruptcies, if we get pulled through, if this Corona thing looks good, if we start to buy again, we might be able to squeeze by. But if the economic data starts to look really ugly, this thing lasts for longer than we anticipated. You know, employees that were laid off have no prospects of getting hired again because no one's hiring. You know, that could trigger the real capitulation. And so to me, we're either bottomed out already and in the process of gaining some relief and hope, or the real capitulation event is yet to come. At this point is going to vary on the economy. We have to look at economic indicators because, Mark, we've talked about this before, but the market itself was so much more elevated than where the economy is. Since the 09 low, market's up over 400%. Is your salary up over 400%? Right? Are the business conditions up over 400%? The answer is no. Right? Financial assets have really been, you know, the valuations have been stretched on the back of the Federal Reserve rescuing the last despondency phase in the housing bubble crash, coming in with a stimulus and a response. But that's inflated prices because the Fed never got out. People don't realize this. By maintaining a portfolio, the Fed was forced to rebuy bonds, which means they continue to provide stimulus. Since 09 to today, as of this recording, the Fed hasn't got their hand out of the pot since the last recession. And so we needed to come down to the stock market. Now it's caught down to where the economy is. It's not like this drop in the market, this 40%, was a loss, right? It's not like we lost value. We repriced true value, right? And I think what's important is to realize, you know, now we're at where we should be. Now what's next? Let's look at the economy. Let's see how it recovers. A true resilient economy doesn't go bust overnight because they don't have sales for 2 weeks. If your business can't survive without sales for 2 weeks, you know, that's trouble. The capitulation hasn't even started if that's the case. So what you got to do is you got to look at the stuff, be really cognizant with the information. And rather than putting your account at risk by trying to pick a bottom, bottom pickers get smelly fingers, what you need to do is join a community, be a part of a group who is professionally doing this, all right? Not, you know, somebody who's a painter turned crypto portfolio manager, somebody who's been doing this for their life and has been through these cycles. The number one question you should ask your investment advisor if you're panicking is, have you survived the cycle? Have you seen the cycle? Ask them, what stage of the cycle are we in? If they don't know what you're talking about, you probably know more than them, all right? Because we're at the stage now. I know I'm going much longer than my allotted time here. But
now you go, Mark, on.
We're at the stage, Mark, where a lot of portfolio managers who are in this industry probably don't remember 09. You know, maybe the more seasoned guys, but there's new people who have come in who have built a name for themselves, you know, who are the younger generation.
Well, I'm seeing a lot of my friends from university, you know, a couple of years older, guys around your age, portfolio managers now.
Yeah, right. I was the crazy kid that you and I, Mark, both, we were reading into the stuff because we had a passion for it at that age. Most kids, their career starts when they finish university, right? My career started when my parents immigrate because I didn't have no freaking money. Right? I would have loved to have a normal, fun childhood, but I was always focused around money and how I could make more. And so what you need to know is there's people who, a whole generation of wealth management that's managing money today, who has no clue what the cycle feels like on the downside. And even though what they've seen right now is like, oh my God, here's a double-sided market, we're finally dropping, I don't think the real capitulation has happened yet. Watch the economy. If the economy starts to crack and we start to see bankruptcies, companies laying off more people, it's going to balloon. This whole thing is going to implode. Because if one company goes bankrupt, guess what? The land that they're leasing from that landlord, he doesn't get paid. If he can't find a tenant and he's maxed out his ownership of land, he's going to default on 30 other properties just because one can't pay. Those businesses get screwed. The banks that lend them the money implodes. Yeah. And before you know it, now you have economic damage. We haven't felt economic damage yet. This is why I can't believe yet the market's capitulated. We got to see what the next down move looks like. And so with three notes, you know, I kind of dropped all that. But I think we're either coming up to the greatest opportunity ever and it's all over, the carnage, or the economy is going to suggest otherwise, and we have a little bit more downside to go, another 10, 15%, 20, maybe. You know, hopefully not, because that looks ugly.
Yeah, I think you guys are in for that. Was definitely an extra bonus nugget there. So let's go ahead and summarize what we've discussed so far in today's episode, and we're going to kind of wrap things up here with this quick summary. So we've discussed this investor cycle, the, you know, you can call it the investor psychology cycle, the trader psychology cycle. It's kind of interchangeable, because at the end of the day, we're humans, right? Humans are going to experience this cycle of emotion. So whether you're an investor or a trader, you're likely going to experience these emotions at some point in time. And it's important to understand, you know, what phase you're at and what, you know, part of the cycle that you're at, so that you can identify, you know, what your next best steps are. On top of that, we gave you guys the four stages, and we discussed the 14 different emotions that make up these four stages. And so, in quick summary, these were optimism, excitement, thrill, euphoria, anxiety, denial, fear, desperation, panic, capitulation, despondency, depression, hope, and relief. And we also talked about how this relates to the overall economy, where we're at in the overall economic cycle, not necessarily the economic cycle, but where the stock market is at based on this cycle and based on what market sentiment looks like right now. We discussed how this is relevant to your individual trading and how your emotions are impacted once you're in trades, how you follow through this cycle. And finally, George shared an awesome little nugget there on where we think we're at in this current cycle. You know, we're recording this on, what's today's date? March the 26th, 2020. And so that's what we've got to tell you guys. You know, we're definitely in past the panic stage. And, you know, next stage we're looking at is potentially the capitulation, despondency phases. And, you know, both myself and Georgie, you know, you can agree or disagree with me here, but I think we're both hoping that it's the side where, you know, where hope and relief and optimism are going to be coming back into the market. You know, I've got my fingers crossed that that's what it's going to be. And it's, you know, that the worst is behind us at this point. But like you said, we've got to keep an eye on the economy, and we've got to keep an eye on what happens with this and how this develops. And that'll give us a better sign of where we truly are within this cycle of emotion, rather of psychological investor emotions.
Yeah, the steeper the rally, you know, the harder the crash. And I really do hope it's over. I'm over this. I don't want to see anyone get hurt. I hope, fingers crossed, you can't see it, but I hope it's over. And I think the most important next picture is what the economic damage has been with this coronavirus isolation. But, you know, I think there's more downside, and I hope I'm wrong on every bone in my body. You know, I hope we recover, we keep going up. I really do. But at the same time, you know, in 2019, when things were getting priced up so high and people were just buying, making money, you know, where the professional institutional money was concerned, we knew at some point there was going to be some damage, you know, in the industry. And unfortunately, it's here, and I hope it's over. But, you know, all you could do is be in a community, stay focused, and keep watching info, assess the real time rather than trying to predict.
Exactly. And if you guys are looking for a community, what you'll want to look for is a community that is there for their members at, you know, any part of these cycles. You'll want to look for a community that's involved and, you know, keeps their members up to date with what's going on. And you really don't want to be in a situation where you're in a community and you're kind of left in the dark, especially during conditions like what we've been experiencing these last 2-3, you know, weeks, even these last 2 months. All right. And so do your due diligence on that front. You know, we've got a great place here with Trade Pro Academy, so make sure to check us out. And that's really going to be all that we've got for today's episode, Trade Pros. So thank you so much for listening. I really hope that you guys enjoyed this one. If you can think of one person in particular that might find today's message really helpful on their trading journey, please go ahead and share this episode with them. Also, if you guys enjoy listening to this podcast, we put in a lot of work and we try to deliver, you know, outstanding value. So if you guys can do us a favor, if you're enjoying it, please make sure to drop onto iTunes, drop us a rating and a review. Until next time, everyone, this has been Mark and
George
from Trade Pro Academy. Good luck and good trading, guys. Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Mind Over Market podcast. You can find us at tradeproacademy.com.